You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Greetings, everyone. Coach Jen here, and thanks for tuning in to Horse Tip Daily, episode 1615. When a horse lays down and gets stuck and can't get back up, it can be a life-threatening situation for both horse and its human rescuers. Today's tip features Horses in the Morning co-hosts Glenn and Jamie, along with Dr. Jimenez from Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue, taking on the topic.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, five-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
Well, let's head over to one of our favorite people on the planet. I did a lot with her during COVID, actually. Dr. Rebecca Jimenez, she's with the Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue Organization. She's been on our show many times. And I asked her to come on today because we haven't talked about horses getting cast in stalls in a long time and the way to properly handle that without dying. And she's going to help us with that.
Well, I'm pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Rebecca Jimenez, Dr. G, as we call her, from the Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue. Welcome, Dr. G.
Glad to be back.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are the kind of person that I don't want to say we dread getting in touch with you. But, I mean, we kind of do, because that means things have gone very wrong in our life. Or, as we're doing this time, it is to educate us on what to do when things go wrong. And I hope I didn't offend you, Doc.
It's just one of those things.
Well, so we are going to talk today about horses getting cast in stalls, because it's always one of those things you're like, oh my God, my horse is stuck against the wall. What do I do? So going in with the knowledge armed to handle the situation, instead of what I like to do is going into situations and freaking panicking.
Just panic. Like,
I think this is a much better place to start. Would you agree?
I would. And usually it seems like it's always in the morning. You're by yourself. You go out to the barn to feed or whatever, do morning checks, and you're by yourself. And that is challenging and scary when you're talking about trying to roll 1,000 or 1,200 or, well, I mean, your horse isn't that big, but still, you know, even rolling 800 pounder is challenging.
I have all sizes of horses, so it's fine to know anyway. So horses getting cast in stalls is obviously when they get stuck against the wall and they can't get themselves rolled over or turned over or get their feet underneath them, or they're stuck in paneling or whatever millions of ways horses try to murder themselves is pretty much what we're going to talk about. So I feel like I should just hit the button and get you going. So beep.
Oh, well, there you go. So you're right. There is, you know, technically the cast thing would be the horse cannot get its feet underneath it for whatever reason. It's up against a wall. It's got its feet through something. Could be fencing, could be stuck in the trees, any of those options. Or it could even be one of, you know, it's a common thing with older horses. They lay down to roll in the pasture and they just somehow get in sort of a low spot. It could be just even a swale in the sand, and maybe they have a little challenges with their hind end. As we get older as humans, we find it harder to get off the ground. That's true for horses too. So for any of those kinds of situations, when you find them, Our first job is to figure out what is really going on. And of course, that, remember, I am a PhD, I'm not a veterinarian. So if this is something that is associated with, in any way, shape, or form, colic signs or anything that's medical related, other than they were just dumb and stuck their feet through something or rolled up against something, you do need to call your vet. Recently, I had a horse, one of my personal horses, and she was laying down in the pasture, and the owner went out there and got her up, and then she went down almost immediately. And her first call was to the vet, and her second call was to me, which is the right thing to do if these kind of things happen.
So they call you and let's say, just to keep it simple, my horse is stuck against the wall. I have a foal and I have a 33-year-old and everything in between. And it can happen to any of them when they're in the stall. But let's just, because that seems to be probably the most common, is let's walk us through, what do we do when we walk in the barn and our horse is laying down with its feet up against the wall and it can't get itself underneath it?
Okay. So first of all, we have to think about our safety too. So to me, the right answer is always go get your riding helmet, go get something to protect your head, because those feet, particularly on those foals, they are flexible and capable of swinging their feet in places that you wouldn't think they normally can. We always want to protect our multi-million dollar brains. They're really important to us. So take those over 10 seconds and go get yourself an equestrian helmet or something to protect your head.
Football and then helmet, we're preferably. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then we're going to assess the animal.
With a full face guard on it. Yeah.
Hey, honestly, I think a football helmet would be a great thing to do. Or one of those ones that the pitchers use. Absolutely. Protect your face as well as the top of your head. There's plenty of pictures to show why out there on the internet. All you have to do is look it up. Horse kick to the face. It's awful. Don't do it. So the first thing to assess is how easy is it to access this animal? Is this a large stall? Is this a place where we can think about our safety? It is always safer on the back side of the horse, where the wither is on the back side of the horse. That is a safer position. And nothing around a horse is safe. As you guys know, they can roll, they can kick, they can do those kind of things. But we're going to look at the safe position. And the easiest thing to do, especially if there's just one or two of you, is see if you can get a hold of the mane, and we're talking several handfuls of mane here, and pull the horse even a couple of inches on the front end away from the wall. That is what most veterinarians do. That's what most livestock managers do at stalls and in situations around the world. Try to get that front end away from the wall, because sometimes that's all they need is just a couple of inches to be able to straighten out their legs, push against the wall themselves, and then they can stand up. And it can happen so fast, you've got to be ready to be able to exit that stall, because it's pretty scary how fast a horse can actually get up. If you look at videos of horses standing up from even rolling out in the pasture, it's like they're up. So think about that. Pulling away from the wall is the easiest thing to do. One or two people may not be able to do that. If you've got a 1,200-pound horse and you try to grab that mane and pull it, you may not be successful. So your second call may be to a neighbor, a friend, somebody down the street that you know, the big guy that lives down the street that you don't, the sort of creepy, but maybe, hey, he's nice and big and strong. So
so summon at that the point, you're sort of, or suck it up and call
right.
the crazy guy down the street.
Yes. And a lot of people say, oh my God, I'm going to hurt his mane. It's just like the girls at the circus that get hung by their hair. They're not hanging by three strands. They're hanging by their entire weight of their hair.
Okay, right? But they're nuts too, so, let's be honest.
That's true. And the same thing with the tail. So sometimes you'll see veterinarians move a horse away from the wall on the hind end using the tail. That is something you've got to be real careful with. One or two people manipulating the horse using their tail, using all the hair and grabbing hold of all the hair, so that you're not breaking the bone, you're not tearing the hair out, you're not degloving the skin off the tail, which can be done. But, if the front end doesn't work, it may be easier for you to move the tail. If that doesn't work, our next thing is we've got to start looking at a little bit of equipment. And it doesn't have to be fancy equipment. The challenge is getting something on the downside two legs, the downside front leg and the downside back leg. If there's two people, you should be able to roll even a large horse. And the reason I know that is because I was up at Gentle Giants up in Maryland, Draft Horse Rescue recently, and they have over 200 horses in their rehabilitation program. And there's always something that they bring in from killer sale or something that goes down. And those girls, they're like 112 pounds soaking wet, and two of them can roll a draft horse. So it can be done if you're doing it. And sometimes they're having to do it two or three times a week, depending on the situation with the horse. So I know it can be done, and that involves putting a soft piece of rope or webbing around the the joint that's right between the bone that's right between the that first joint, the fetlock, on the pastern above the hoof. And if you can fiddle it around a little loop around that leg on the front end and the back end and pull together to roll the horse. The problem with this one is horses' legs are so long that if he's up against the wall in a 12-foot by 12-foot stall, by the time you roll a draft horse, his feet are touching the wall on the other side, right? So where are you going to be?
Dr. G, I got to throw my story in here right now. It's because it's perfect. We had an 18-hand Percheron, weighed a ton. This is a big horse. And got cast, completely cast in the stall. And it was a bigger stall, but it was completely cast. And we could not get that horse. It was just Jennifer and I. So we actually had to go to the plumber's shop next door, get the plumbers. Talk about the guy next door, right? We got the plumbers to come over, and there were four of us. But that's the problem we had, is what we knew when we rolled him over, just the way he was situated, that we were going to be in the way because there's four of us and we needed four of us to get him rolled over. So we actually took the time to come up with a game plan of who went out the door first and what order when that horse started to roll over, and we had it down, and we managed to do it without anybody getting hurt. But it took planning who was going to exit the door in what order, so none of us got clobbered by those huge pipe plate feet, you know?
Well, now that you've told your story, let's hear the actual real way to do it, Dr. G.
Well, no, actually, you did the right thing, Glenn, because it's funny about horse people. We're always in a hurry, but we don't want to take 30 seconds to come up with a plan. Hey, you know, could we, in that case, I don't know the layout of your stall, but the only other thing you could have done is, could you have run the ropes through the stall bars into another stall?
No, they were solid. And yeah.
There you go. Yeah. If they're solid, then you're limited. But yeah. if there's stall door, either you can shape it out the door, or you could go through the stall wall. That would be another option to give yourself more room. And a lot of people are like, well, what's he going to do when he's got the rope on his feet when he gets up? You're right. He could step on it. He could trip on it. He could, those kind of things. But you've got to, at that point, you know, a horse that's down, most veterinarians will tell you that I've talked to, they said they don't worry about if a horse has been down for an hour cast in the stall, because they sometimes sleep for an hour. But it gets much over an hour and they start getting worried. And just like, I don't know, but I've achieved that age. If I lay on one side for very long, my brain, even in my sleep, says, hey, you need to roll over. And that's what the horse's brain is telling him, is, you know, instinctively, I need to get up. I've been down long enough. And for a horse, the challenge of being down so long is their muscle and their body weighs so much, it puts a lot of pressure on their downside lung, which means their downside lung really isn't working. And that means their oxygen tension, their ability to get oxygen to their tissues, is debilitating. And guess what that means? Next time we're circling the drain, which, you know, the horses are born circling the drain in the first place. Some horses are a little closer to the drain all the time. But that's why veterinarians get very worried about down horses being down for more than an hour.
Now, on a practical side, we just used long lead ropes. That's what we use, soft, long
nice
lead ropes.
Long. Yep. I love using nice, soft cotton or webbing lead ropes that are nice and wide. The biggest game to not having any damage to that lower limb, you know, I mean, you guys know, and I know we've had plenty of horses in the morning experts that have come in and talked about lower leg injuries. And everybody goes, oh my God, you know, tension or cutting or compression of those poor soft tissues in that lower leg is potentially damaging. But if you're spreading the weight over a nice cotton rope so that it can't cut or tighten, then you shouldn't be having problems. And usually what horses do is they roll over, they get up and they go, what the heck is this on my foot? And they sort of shake it. And if you've just looped it around, girth hitched it, then it should work loose anyway.
Now, the thing is, though, you're talking about the horse rolling over. It could step on the rope. The horse could have its, you know, little fetlock pinched. Yeah, all of that's better than lungs collapsing. So, like,
exactly.
Seriously, you have to weigh the toxicity, you know?
Exactly. Now, and some places, it seems like these things happen in some places more often than others. And I'm not really sure why. You know, some people say, you know, put the bedding up against the wall, that limits some of these options, whatever. I've seen horses in barns that they do all those things and they still get cast. So I think it's an individual horse thing.
I think it's a, what is my horse's ability to try to take care of its own body? You know, like,
that's right.
I don't want to go to a 3-day event and take my horse cross country when they have no will to protect themselves. No will to, you know what? I'm just going to go throw it. Like,
exactly.
No, like, let's try not, like, you have to want to try not to die.
And the other reason, the other thing to think about too, is why were they rolling in the first place? I mean, we already talked about the medical issues, but is there something else? Is their skin itchy? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I will go out of my way to find a rough wall edge. If my back is itching and there's nobody else to scratch it for me, I go to crazy lengths to try to scratch that back up against the wall and scratch, right? And mm-hmm. we have hands, but there's always that one place in the middle of your back where you can't scratch. And sometimes I think that's what happens to horses. They have an itch or they have a scratch that they need to do. And maybe for some of those horses, particularly the ones that do it regularly, it may be helpful to do more grooming in on the back in the places where they can't reach. There are places where horses cannot reach themselves, even if they're scratching with their back foot or reaching around with their teeth. They just can't get to it. So that's probably what's happening. If they could tell us, they would, but they can't.
Well, I think that the most important thing here too, like one of the, not the most important thing, but one thing that I have learned just from our conversation now is grabbing that mane and everybody, let's just heave this thing against the wall and see if it works. I had a foal that would get cast all the time and I was yep. always trying to roll it. I think that if I would just would have known, just grab the mane and just pull backwards a couple inches, that probably would have been a much more effective, easier way for,
yes.
especially for
that foal. Is absolutely the easier way. And it's safer too, because anytime you're fiddling around with a rope around legs and you lean over the horse, I have seen horses do some amazing things with those back legs. They don't know that you're there to help them. You know, remember we're talking about this prey animal and all of a sudden this predator is leaning over them. I'm sure to them instinctively in their ancient brain, they're thinking, oh my God, the hyena or the lion is here mm-hmm. and they may struggle. Some horses, you know, you take a little bit of time, let them know, hey, it's me. Make sure they can hear you and see you. Talk. I'm assuming that people do that without your head, without you doing the, oh my God.
Oh my God, the horse is coming.
You know what's funny though? We've had this several times, and I think I want to know if you've had the same situation. What the horse will struggle a little when it gets stuck, but eventually the horse just stops. It just yes. lays there.
Yes.
And that's
and some of that
the experience
is
we had
yeah. of those lungs. That goes all back to Dr. Temple Grandin's work. You know, she talks about even for herself using the squeeze effect to try to calm herself. Effectively, they're getting a squeeze effect because their entire body is pushing down on that lower lung and those musculature. And we see that a lot in large animal rescue when we're using slings or we're using some of the other things. You've seen it in tilt tables. We use them in cattle and horses. Mustangs, et cetera, that have to have their feet done that are feral out in some of the BLM properties, they use a tilt table. They just put the horse into the tight spot and compress it with a lot of compression and lay it over on its side. And they magically, it seems magic. It's the same thing as Temple Grandin talks about. It's a pressure thing. And so that works until it doesn't. Mm-hmm. They'll lay there until they don't. And
I
the
like
sad thing for horses is they don't go, hey, I'm getting ready to jump up and bap you in the face or kick you. That's the safety problem.
Well, I do love the fact that the first thing you said was protect your head. And so that's good advice too. Like, you know, horses are going to sense adrenaline. They synchronize adrenaline. So if you go in there nice and calm with the helmet and feeling safe, you know, I like to think my horse is just like, oh, mom's here. Thank God. I'm just going to lay here till mom fixes it. But you know what? Like, I think that a lot of it is the approach that you go in there with. And I think it's really important to keep yourself nice and calm. And any situation with horses, you know, that could be potentially stressful is just stay calm. assess the situation. What's my, as Glenn says, what's my exit plan? Yep. And how is the easiest way to make this happen and just stay calm? So go ahead.
What I was going to say is what we usually tell people is we can puke and cry later, but right now we have to have our head together, you know, and all of us do it, right? I mean, you get out of a scary situation, you have a car wreck or whatever. Usually it's the next hour or the next day that you're actually crying because by that time you've processed it, right? But yeah. Right now we need to work together, try to stay calm. You know, you're right. The horse, they've done some work to show that horses can sense your stress, your heart rate, your pheromones or whatever it is that we exude when we're scared. You know, I know after I'm scared, I stink. You know, I can smell myself and other people do too. So I'm sure the horse can smell it. So good luck. You don't have to go take a shower before you roll your horse over.
Well, Dr. G, where can people go to learn more or ask you questions or join up with you guys?
Generally, what I tell people is if you look up technical large animal emergency rescue, we have a study group on Facebook. There's 25,000 people on it, and it's not a prayer group. It's a study group. And we tell people, go there. We've got a lot of information there for horse owners, but there's a very professional group there of veterinarians and firefighters and law enforcement folks that also look into large animal rescue. And we share lots of details there. You can also get a hold of me at my personal email. It's Delphi Acres, DelphiAcres at hotmail.com.
Well, there you have it. Horse Radio Network has thousands of engaging podcasts for horse people, and you can have them sent right to your phone. Just subscribe via your favorite podcast player. This is Coach Jen, and I will be back again soon with another tip. Until then, go ride your horse. The Horse Radio Network and the Horse Radio Network hosts are not responsible for statements made by guests on the Horse Tip Daily. Please use your own judgment when listening to the tips on this show.